clean slate, moving on to something new. Sometimes some girls make it easy on you, some girls never do. Yes, some girls never do. Sometimes some girls make it easy on you, some girls never do. I got the windows rolled down, and I'm cruising these back roads on the outskirts of town. And I can feel the wind blowing, hear the big engines whine. When I'm cruising these back roads, all my troubles are behind. Well, when I woke up this morning, well, I took me a look outside. It was plain to see it was one of those days that I made for taking a ride. So I went downstairs, cleared my head with coffee and cigarettes, and when it hit me right there.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. 30-year mortgage rates have dropped to their lowest since early last year, down close to 6%. This is a day after the Federal Reserve announced a cut in its main interest rate that banks are charged. Celebrating economic progress, President Biden at the Economic Club in Washington.
I think it's good news for consumers, and it means the cost of buying a home, a car, and so much more will be going down.
His advisors say President Biden is speaking to what they call a new milestone, inflation and interest rates falling at the same time employment and wages are rising. Leader of Hezbollah, the Iran-backed militants in Lebanon, say they'll keep up daily attacks on Israel despite this week's mass bombing attack with pagers and walkie-talkies exploding. Investigators were able to approach the vehicle this morning that crashed into a gas pipeline, sparking a fire in Deer Park, Texas. They say they found human remains, and now it's a criminal investigation. This is ABC News. 80 Texas lawmakers are setting aside partisan politics to try to save a death row prisoner. He's 57, scheduled to die by lethal injection next month.
Based partly on the testimony of then-police officer Brian Wharton, Robert Robertson was convicted of fatally shaking his 2-year-old daughter. 22 years later, Wharton says,
"We didn't know we didn't have the best information, but now we do."
Evidence now suggests that Robertson's claim that the girl fell out of bed was true. Democrats and Republicans in the Texas legislature are asking Governor Greg Abbott to stop Robertson's October 17th execution. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
It's being called a successful test flight, a hydrogen-filled balloon taking off from the Gulf of Mexico, flying 19 miles into the sky. There are plans to use it to take tourists to the edge of space in 2026. Michael Jackson's Thriller joins Beat It, Billie Jean, and They Don't Care About Us as the only 4 music videos on YouTube's Billion Club. Chuck Severson, ABC News.
Pluto TV is a place for movie fans like me.
And TV fans like me.
They've got something for everyone, and it's free.
I love free, and I love Jersey Shore.
For me, it's The Godfather.
SpongeBob SquarePants, I am Patrick. Patrick is me.
Oh, Forrest Gump, come on.
Criminal Minds, solving crime after bedtime.
Whatever you love to watch, Pluto TV makes it easy with thousands of free movies and shows.
Pluto TV, stream now, pay never.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menu signs and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them, and they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayland. A new AARP poll finds Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin leading Republican businessman Eric Hovde 50% to 47%. Pollster Bob Ward breaks down the age differences.
That 50 to 64-year-old age group, the younger side of older voters, is the most Republican group, and they are voting for Hovde by an 11-point margin. Baldwin is winning the senior vote by 8 points. And of course, the youngest voters are the most Democratic, and they are voting for Baldwin by a net of 20 points.
The poll finds 48% of likely voters backing Vice President Kamala Harris, 45% supporting former President Donald Trump, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's still on the ballot after dropping out of the race, at 2%. Wisconsin's infrastructure ranks among the best in the nation.
But the letter grade in a new report from the American Society of Civil Engineers is not an A. Zoe Myers is with Dane County-based JT Engineering.
The overall grade for the 2024 report card for Wisconsin's infrastructure is a C+.
The report card evaluates 17 infrastructure categories. Wisconsin was one of just 3 states to score a C+, the highest overall score this year. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Children ages 12 and older with sickle cell anemia are eligible for a new treatment at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin.
The newly FDA-approved treatment is called Casgevy and works by adding a gene that makes fetal hemoglobin, which reduces the clinical effects of sickle cell disease. Before this new gene therapy was approved, the typical treatment could include daily oral medication and a bone marrow transplant, in addition to transfusions, to remove excess iron from the blood. Physicians estimate that the new treatment will include a 2-month stay. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Spotty showers and some storms ramp up this afternoon and into the evening hours. Some could be strong to severe, bringing high winds and hail. Otherwise today, partly sunny and still warm, with high temperatures reaching the low 80s. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 1-800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. It's 70 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Oil is the feedstock for renewable diesel production. We will learn what has been learned from that investigation. And it's College Roadshow time. I'm in Ames, Iowa, on the campus of Iowa State University for a conversation about what it takes to keep grain flowing in the country.
Live from the campus of Iowa State University via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with ISU Extension economist Bobby Martins. Then it's Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association. I'm the handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis, man. Welcome to Ames, everybody. Woo-hoo! College Roadshow time down here at Iowa State University. Really, really glad to be back in Ames and on campus here this morning. Davis, it was an eventful morning here as we were taping. Yes, as we were doing the panel discussion for U.S. Farm Report. Tyne will have full coverage of the College Roadshow presented by Bex this weekend on U.S. Farm Report. I came down to be part of the panel, and it rained. It rained hard.
Oh.
And as we were set up under the tent there on main campus, just between between Memorial Union and the Campanile, I was a little scared for everybody there for a little bit with all the thunder and lightning that was bouncing around us. Good grief.
Extension it cords was, and puddles. That's fun. It's good times.
Yeah. They really don't mix. But here we are. We're down in Ames on the College Roadshow, and it's you guys all know what I think about Iowa State University and the College of Agriculture, Life Sciences here at Iowa State University. It's one of the best in the country. And if any incoming freshmen or outgoing high school seniors would like to talk more about Iowa State University, I'm happy to do that. Send me an email at host@agritalk.com and we'll have a conversation about what goes on down here at Iowa State.
Excellent. So. Yeah, yeah. You're a big fan of what they do down there at ISU.
Well, yeah, we make farmers.
Yeah.
We make farmers. Yeah, that's exactly what happens down there. You know what I noticed? Farm broadcasters.
You know what I noticed you use the royal we. We make farm broadcasters. We make farmers down here. You're emotionally invested there, aren't you?
Yeah. I think you could probably say that.
Well, I'm glad you made it to your happy place.
Well, I am. I am very glad to be down here. So here's the deal. We've got Bobby Martins coming up. He's an associate professor in the College of Economics, Ag Economics at Iowa State University. We're going to have a conversation with him about what is happening with the with grain transportation in the country. And then Jeff Cooper, we got to get Jeff in here from RFA, try to figure out exactly what the status is of EPA's investigation into some of the feedstocks coming into the country to be used for renewable diesel.
All right.
Okay, let's get started with the news. What do you got, man?
You betcha. Well, I'll start with the weather. Scattered severe thunderstorms are possible today across central and eastern Minnesota, Iowa, and western Wisconsin. A few tornadoes, isolated very large hail, and damaging winds may occur. An upper-level low will help trigger scattered thunderstorms over portions of central and southern California today as well, along with a few inches of snow in the central Sierra Nevadas. We had just a light sprinkle here this morning in Kansas City, kind of cloudy.
Yeah, it was more than a light sprinkle here in Ames. It was raining like a son of a gun there for a little while. Keep your eye on the sky across a big portion of the Midwest. There are enhanced chances of severe weather in many areas of the Midwest, so be aware of that.
Well, Chip, the FOMC decided to lower the target range for the federal funds rate by 50 basis points to 4.75 to 5%. This marks the first interest rate cut since March 2020 and the beginning of an easing cycle. All three major stock indices finished with losses in the wake of the Fed rate cut decision. J.P. Morgan was the one major bank whose economists called the Fed's 50 basis point cut. It's less sure on what's next, but J.P. Morgan did say its call for another big reduction in November hinges on the labor market getting weaker. Chip, we saw that half point cut.
Yeah, yeah, and we talked about it yesterday. It was a bit of a surprise that they went ahead and went with the full half point cut, but indices finished lower yesterday. We'll see if the market can get it turned around today.
Well, Chip, the Bank of England maintained its bank rate at 5% during its September 2024 meeting. That follows a 25-point basis cut in August, the first reduction there in over 4 years. And, Chip, so far, no formal negotiations have been held, and none are even scheduled as major U.S. dock workers' strike looms. While the potential strike would not directly impact bulk grain export facilities, it could have significant effects on containerized ag exports and indirectly affect grain producers through disruptions to the livestock industry. The potential strike would affect 36 ports along East Coast and Gulf Coast from Maine to Texas. The Biden administration has decided not to invoke a law that allows the president to step in during serious labor conflicts. We got to know, but it could start as early as October 1st, Chip.
Right. And we've got plenty of perspective on that coming up in the conversation with Bobby Martins.
Good, good. Well, in other union news here, the International Brotherhood of Teamsters declined to endorse a presidential candidate on Wednesday for the first time since 1996 after releasing internal polling that showed a majority of its members support former President Donald Trump. So they just decided not to endorse any candidate, Chip.
Let's not represent the wishes of the members.
No, why would we? Why would we?
Why would we do that? I mean, it was... jeez.
Vice President Kamala Harris plans to meet Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Washington next week, aiming to enhance her foreign policy profile ahead of the 2024 election. The meeting comes as Russia has made gains in the ongoing conflict. Chip, the House voted down a six-month stopgap funding bill, mostly split along party lines. The bill proposed by House Speaker Mike Johnson included a controversial provision requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote, which Democrats opposed. Lawmakers must pass a new funding measure by September 30 to prevent a shutdown, proof of citizenship to vote.
What's the holdup here? Why isn't there proof of citizenship? I hate to be so full of sarcasm so early in the morning from Iowa State, but where I want to be in such a good mood. Come on. It's why they're not shutting down the border.
Yep. It's creepy. Well, Brazil's Foreign Trade Chamber raised the quota for wheat imports through the end of the year to avoid potential shortages. I don't know if I'm hanging too much on this, but it does feel like maybe some increasing global wheat demand here if Brazil's going to come short.
Well, and it's concern over total supplies around the world from those major exporters, Russia and Ukraine.
Well, real quick here, a day after hundreds of pagers used by Hezbollah militants blew up, their walkie-talkies exploded, killing at least 20 people and injuring hundreds. This, according to Lebanon's health ministry, Hezbollah has accused Israel of being behind the attacks. Israel says no comment.
But I bet they're winking at everybody in the room. You know, my gosh, what an incredible string of events that has taken place there. All right, we are on the College Roadshow, Ames, Iowa, the beautiful campus of Iowa State University. We've got Bobby Martins, Extension Ag Economist, coming up next. We're talking grain transportation here on AgriTalk.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
Your needs are evolving, and so is our lineup. Firestone Ag is introducing premium Bridgestone tractor tires engineered to meet your evolving needs, especially if you have heavy on-road driving habits. Equipped with the latest tire technology, Bridgestone tractor tires are designed with enhanced wear resistance and durability. They are engineered to provide excellent traction and ride comfort on the road while minimizing soil compaction. To learn more about Bridgestone tires, visit your local certified Firestone Ag dealer or visit FirestoneAg.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. Bex Hybrids is with you every turn because both on and off the field, we're all farmers at heart. See why at BexHybrids.com.
Well, Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Florian. It is College Roadshow time. We are on the road down in Ames, Iowa, on the beautiful campus of Iowa State University. As you all know, I'm a little partial to this campus. We're just outside the Campanile, between the Campanile and Union Memorial. It's a great place to be. And joining me right now, Bobby Martins. Bobby is an extension economist here at Iowa State and focuses on logistics and supply chain issues, right?
Yes, that's right. The whole area around the farm gate.
All right, good stuff. Now, as we think about logistics at this time of the year, there's a lot of different things that are happening. But I want to start with something that I think we can handle pretty quickly. And it might be a surprise to some people that we can handle this quickly. But I'm talking about the longshoremen strike or the potential for a strike. How much of an impact might this have on ag?
On ag as a whole, it'll have an impact. On corn and soybean exports, the commodities themselves, it'll have a very marginal to small impact on that part. Ag as a whole, a little bit larger, because when we think about our other exports like meat and products like that that can go out in containers, we'll have an impact there.
Yeah, the pork and the beef guys seem to be most concerned about this one.
Yeah, for sure. You know, our commodity movement, some will move by container, most will not move by container, and most of our vessels that are going out with bulk products on are moving on their own.
Okay. And then the other thing is the containerized will take some soybeans and some soybean meal out of the country, right?
Absolutely. Containers are moving some product out of the country, but it's a marginal amount relative to the amount that are moving in bulk.
Okay. What about product that is coming in? I mean, it's that time of the year. We need to get fertilizer in place here. Is that going to have any impact there?
Right. Once again, there should be marginal impact on that. You know, most of our fertilizer is coming in bulk. The Longshoremen's Union is less involved in that and fertilizer coming in.
Okay. Well, as long as we're talking about fertilizer, let's go to the rail situation up in Canada. We bring in a ton, well, many, several hundred thousand tons of fertilizer from Canada, and the rail situation could kind of mess that up.
Yeah, especially potash, right, when you're thinking about potash coming in from Canada. The rail strike is officially ended, right? It was ended. Workers are ordered back to work. You know, and that takes some time to sort out, though, once it ends. You know, we could be looking at 6 weeks to sort that out. But once again, things are being sorted out. Product is moving. Backlogs are being worked through. And once again, that is looking pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Other issues that we've got to think about when it comes to that Canadian rail situation up there, spring wheat.
Yeah, you know, spring wheat becomes huge. You know, anything going to the Pacific Northwest, CN especially, relieves freight out of the United States as well that goes to the Pacific Northwest. So it is really important to think about that. But once again, you know, that backlogs are being worked through, that is being worked through, and movements are happening, and we're once again rolling up there. So overall, I think that picture looks pretty solid.
Okay. So there's a couple of issues that we just worked through that seem like there's potential impacts, but we're watching kind of from the fringe. Market impact, therefore, has got to be pretty minimal, correct?
From those two, yeah. From those two concerns, market impact right now is very minimal, and we don't expect it to be large and moving ahead.
Okay. All right. Another one that I want to talk about is the size of this year's corn crop, the size of this year's bean crop. You throw all the bushels together, it's going to be a monster to get moved from point A to point B to point C and on down the line. Is the system set up and ready to go?
Yeah, you know, the system's going to be pushed again this year. You know, we run up into capacity. It's not only transportation capacity, but storage capacity. So the true logistics components of what's happening will certainly be stretched this year. Is it ready to go? I think our system is strong. We've had a lot of investment in our system, a lot of investment in storage. Overall, our transportation system is still relatively strong. So I think it's ready to go. But there certainly are some watchouts, and there are certainly is a system that's going to be pushed.
Yeah. Seems like with the amount of crop that we carried over from the 2023 year into the 24 year and is probably still sitting in some commercial storage, that stuff's going to get in the way, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the carryovers don't make it easier. Obviously, managers have been pushing it out, have been moving product around, have been getting ready. They know a large crop is coming in, but at the same time, that large crop has to have a place to go. You know, we're going to see crop probably some places that we don't want to be storing it. We'll see that happen for sure. But then that means how fast are we able to turn that and how fast are we able to move that out of the country or to points of processing.
Okay. Biggest potential impact there is going to be regionalized, right, and show up in basis?
It'll show up in regional basis. You know, another big impact that we go into, obviously, is the Mississippi River. Yeah. We haven't touched on that yet, but I'm sure you're thinking it.
Yep, I certainly am. I mean, the river is such a crazy thing story this year. We had the highest July crest ever, and now here we are this fall. We're already dealing with low water levels. What kind of problems does that create for our shipping?
Yeah, when you think about barge traffic down the Mississippi River, you know, we export, up to 20% of our corn crop depending upon the year and 50% of our soybean crop depending upon the year. And again, it all depends upon the year, but 60% of that could go down the Mississippi River in any given year. That river is a really critical infrastructure to link us to the rest of the world. And when we think about what are the impacts, we're thinking about loading barges a lot lighter than we would have otherwise, so the draft into the water isn't as deep. We think about fewer barge movements that can move up and down the river. So what it basically does is it limits our supply of transportation to be able to move product out to the ocean and into global markets.
Yep. Now, I'm sure that some of the listeners are thinking, well, that's a river problem. That's not a problem for me. I'm 300 miles from that terminal. It's a problem for them too, isn't it?
It's a problem for everyone. So local basis will start changing, but this is a percentage of our overall crops that we need to get out of this country. And we need to keep our export markets strong and be competitive on the export markets for longer term export relationships, right? So it really is something we need to be thinking about. We need to be watching carefully, and we need to be thinking about how do we use the rest of our system if the river continues to go lower.
Okay. Some of the projects on the Mississippi right now, those are encouraging. I mean, is it Lock and Dam 25 that is getting a full expansion?
Yeah, there are some exciting things happening on the Mississippi. And I think that's part of that reason is we know how valuable that is for infrastructure for us. And when we think about expanding the locks, what that does is it frees up capacity in the Mississippi River because larger tows, this is barges that are tied together, can go through the locks at the same time. So it speeds up that process, and we don't have bottlenecks on the river.
Yeah. Boy, you talk about creating some efficiency. And as you were saying, in this international grain market, every quarter cent counts.
Oh, every penny counts. You know, when we're working on really tight margins, competing with other parts of the world, every penny matters when we're thinking about our costs.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, what other issues are you looking at out there that we need to be thinking about as we put together marketing plans for this harvest?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I think sometimes is overlooked a little bit is thinking about domestic transportation within the country.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
80%
right.
of our corn crop is used right here in the United States. And globally, we use about a third. Within the United States, we use about a third of the global corn production. It's a staggering number to be able to think about. And that all needs to be moved too. So while these export markets are really important and really critical to price and competition, we also have to think about our domestic infrastructure. Much of that moves on truck, some of it moves on rail, right? Very important components.
You know, and here in the state of Iowa, we keep talking about all these rural bridges out there that are in disrepair. Boy, if we're looking for a spot to spend some money to improve the infrastructure, that'd be one of the first spots to start.
Rural bridges are big. You know, the overall transportation sector has been in what we call a freight recession. So this is not an economic recession, but it's been a downturn since coming off the COVID hangover and manufacturing being a bit slow. When we start seeing that pick up again, which will happen, we'll also start seeing driver numbers become more scarce, right? Because the whole industry works together. That's an area to be thinking about too. So bridges are important. Driver scarcity is important. So what we need to do is we need to utilize our transportation, our truck transportation sector better. We should always be thinking about how we can do that.
Fantastic. Okay, we only got about a minute left here, but I got to ask you, what are you learning from the students that have come back to the campus here this fall?
The students are always exciting. I teach two classes. One is on cooperatives, a very fun class to be able to teach on the cooperative business model and what cooperatives do for us.
Yeah.
And I'm teaching another class that's pretty unique. It's an ag and rural transportation class, and it's an applied microeconomics class. So we're really digging into transportation and thinking about it. Fascinating thing to think about when you think about transportation is we produce here in Iowa once a year. We move product out of Iowa 365 days a year. never stops. Fun to think about with transportation.
That's really cool, Bobby. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. We got a big game tomorrow. Go Cyclones, man.
Exactly. I'm sure Coach Campbell, I was ready, and we'll be out there.
Yeah, you're darn right. All right. Thank you, Bobby. Bobby Martins, he is an extension economist here at Iowa State University. We are on the College Roadshow. Full coverage this week on U.S. Farm Report. Thanks to Bex for making it possible for us to get out here and talk to the people down in Ames. We got Jeff Cooper, RFA, up next here on AgriTalk.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And a nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Milk markets have turned mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk up 7 to 23.67, November down 3 to 22.80, December down 7 to 21.58, January down 8 to 20.37. Chicago Board of Trade live and feeder cattle markets moving higher with triple-digit gains as there's strength in a lot of the outside markets. Stock market moving sharply higher after the interest rate cut. That's all helping to increase buying interest and technical support in the markets. Still have to watch those 40-day moving average resistance levels, however. Hog markets moving higher in the nearby months. Pork cutout values are higher. Demand has been mixed throughout the week. But again, we're at levels not seen since early June. There could be some trader nervousness after the afternoon part of the session is kicked in. October live cattle up $1.60 to $179.90. September feeder cattle up $2.55 to $245.37. October hogs up 10 cents to $82.15. Chicago Board of Trade. Corn markets moving mostly lower. Harvest pressure and a lack of fresh bullish news pressuring the markets. Soybeans still relatively higher. Dry weather in Brazil really providing some of that underlying support. Wheat markets mostly lower. Rain in the plains to help the winter wheat crop pressuring prices. December corn down 6 3/4 to 4.06. November beans up 1 to 10.15. December wheat down 10 3/4 to 5.65. With this market update, I'm Brian Winnekins.
Farmers, it's harvest time and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory, and it's College Roadshow. I'm in Ames, Iowa, Iowa State University. Really glad to be back here on campus. But every now and then, we got to take a break from the roadshow and talk about some really important business that is happening out there. And that's why we've got Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, with us. Jeff, welcome back to the show, buddy. Thanks for being here.
Hey, good morning, Chip. Thanks for having me.
All right. So RFA has sent a letter to EPA asking for an update on an investigation into some imports of feedstocks used in the production of biofuels. Yeah. First things first, why is that investigation necessary?
Well, Chip, over the last several months, really over the last year, year and a half, we have begun to see huge volumes of what is being called used cooking oil and tallow being imported into the U.S. Most of it's coming from China. The tallow is coming primarily from Brazil. And this material is being used as feedstock for renewable diesel and biodiesel production. And of course, it's, you know, that fuel is then generating the dollar a gallon tax credit, and it's generating RIN credits under the RFS, and it's generating LCFS credits. But there's some real concern and some things that we're hearing from the trade about, is this feedstock, is this stuff being imported, especially from China, what they are claiming it to be? Is it really used cooking oil, which gets a, you know, premium and a very low CI score under the LCFS and under the RFS, or is it something else? Is it potentially virgin palm oil, which has a very high carbon intensity score and is known to be very environmentally destructive and, in fact, is banned by EPA from the RFS program. So there's been this kind of suspicion for the last year or more around what is this stuff exactly coming in from China. EPA made it known about 6 weeks ago that they are doing some auditing and some investigation into the record keeping and around some of these supply chains. But we haven't heard anything since then. And so we did ask the agency earlier this week, hey, number one, can you give us an update on how these audits are going and what you're finding? And number two, we really believe the agency needs to tighten down the record keeping requirements to keep this potentially fraudulent feedstock out of our market. It's having devastating impacts on the U.S. biofuels market and you know, soybean and corn farmers and biofuel producers. So this is a big deal and something that we really need EPA and other agencies to get a handle on.
Yeah, with soybean oil trading under 40 cents a pound, something's going on because there's enough demand out there for these feedstocks for the biofuels that bean oil should not be, quote unquote, should not be as cheap as it is right now. So we've seen a 12-fold increase, doesn't it? It says that, yeah, it's a problem, but it doesn't really tell us how much we are importing. I mean, is it a big deal, the amount that we are importing?
Yeah, it's a huge deal, Chip. And just to give you a little context, just back in 2021, so 3 years ago, the U.S. imported less than 300 million pounds of used cooking oil. Last year, 2023, we imported more than 3 billion pounds of used cooking oil. Most of that came from China. So a tenfold increase in those 2 years. And then this year, we're on pace to be importing more than 4 billion, maybe 4.5 billion pounds of used cooking oil. And then on, you know, add on top of that, the increase that we're seeing in tallow. So we think we're on pace for probably 7 billion pounds of tallow and used cooking oil imports this year. And that's enough to make about 700 to 800 million gallons of biodiesel or renewable diesel. So basically one out of every 6 gallons of biomass based diesel being produced in the country today is coming from these two imported 18%. Feedstocks, used cooking oil and tallow.
Wow. That is a big number. Now, did I hear you correctly that China and Brazil are getting tax credits on the imports of these feedstocks?
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. So, you know, this supposed used cooking oil comes in from China. A U.S. biomass-based diesel producer uses it to make renewable diesel or biodiesel. That product gets blended, and they get a dollar tax credit. So, I mean, you know, and again, it's also generating a very valuable RIN credit under the RFS.
Yeah.
And then this stuff being made from used cooking oil gets the lowest carbon intensity value under the California LCFS. So it is the highest valued product, the highest valued biofuel in the California program.
So the biofuel refiners got to be getting the RIN, though. I mean, we're not sending even more money into China through those RINs, are we?
No, that's correct. I mean, the U.S. producer is the one that would benefit from the RIN value and also the tax credit value. But we know how these things work. They're able to pay more for these feedstocks. They're able to, you know, the demand for those feedstocks wouldn't be there if not for these policies reward these particular products. And at the same time, Chip, and this is what really sticks in our craw, is you've got China and Brazil both with punitive barriers, punitive import tariffs in place on our biofuels. We can't export ethanol to China today because they have a massive tariff on U.S. ethanol. Brazil has an 18% tariff on U.S. ethanol. So they're freezing our product out of their market. And at the same time, we're opening the doors to this questionable feedstock that they're sending us for the biodiesel and renewable diesel
industry. And making it worth more. I don't think this was the intent of the rules and the regulations when they were written, Jeff.
Well, they certainly, that is absolutely true. This was not the intent of the renewable fuel standard. That's why there are a number of folks on the Hill that are really asking questions about this. You know, there's been a group of senators and members in the House that have been asking questions of EPA, asking questions of the Customs and Border Protection agencies. So, I mean, there is a lot more attention on these issues now. And the other thing to keep in mind is, you know, we're 100 days away from a new tax credit called 45Z that, again, would allow these foreign feedstocks to come into the country, use them to produce biofuels, and those biofuels would qualify for the credit. So
So have you heard anything from EPA? What is the status of this investigation?
Well, really all we've heard is hey, thanks for your letter. These investigations are continuing. And we can't comment, can't talk about audits and investigations and potential enforcement actions that are, you know, currently pending. So, you know, our hope is that when they do wrap this up, and hopefully that's sooner than later, they will share with the public what they're finding and what they're learning and what they're doing about it, most importantly. And again, we're not asking, you don't have to name names, you don't have to say who was doing what, but what are you doing to get a handle on this situation?
And how is it going to be policed going forward? Isn't that a question that needs to be answered?
It is, and that's where we look at the existing EPA regulations, and we say, man, there's some loopholes in here that allow people to say, oh, we're perfectly compliant with the regulations, and that's true, but those regulations aren't very stringent enough to prevent some of this activity from happening. The other thing that we just learned is, you know, the Customs and Border Protection folks, they recently responded to a letter from Senator Grassley and Senator Marshall and others and basically said, yeah, look, palm oil that's blended with used cooking oil would technically meet our definition for waste animal and vegetable fats. So if that's happening, it's not running afoul of any Customs and Border Patrol measures, border protection measures. So that's a problem. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, then you need to get a new definition for this stuff.
Okay. Now, we're talking about Biden-era programs here. If Trump wins in November, does all of this go away?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, a lot of this is related to the, you know, the biodiesel blenders credit that's been out there for ages.
Okay.
That does go away at the end of this year, and then it morphs into the 45Z credit. There is a lot of discussion around, well, if Trump won, would he come in and just take the axe to all those Inflation Reduction Act tax credits? And increasingly, we're hearing more and more Republican voices saying, no, there's parts of that law, including 45Z and including some of these biofuel tax credits that we think are helpful. And we're seeing investment, we're seeing job creation in our districts because of those programs. So they'll be encouraging the president, whoever it is, to at least spare some of those programs from the IRA, and we expect, you know, many of those to continue.
Yeah, some, you know, the ball has gotten, has started to roll in the direction of providing product that will meet the standards of these programs out there. Yep. I mean, it'd be weird to slam the brakes on this stuff now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely would. I mean, now that you're seeing concrete and steel going in the ground on sustainable aviation fuel production, and you're seeing, you know, farmers making moves on climate smart ag, and all of this activity is being driven by the 45Z credit, the SAF tax credit. So it's hard for me to imagine that a new administration, whoever it is going to come in and slam the brakes on that when it's, you know, when these programs are very important to red districts and states in many cases.
Well, and it fits the bill with all of the above when it comes to energy supply.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. All right. Jeff, keep us up to date on what is going on with this investigation, because this is such a critical component. It means so much to the soy complex that this is important work here, buddy. Keep up
Absolutely.
The good work.
Thanks, right. Chip. Appreciate it.
You bet. You bet. Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. This is something that we've been talking about for literally months, and we need to get some answers from EPA on what has happened and how it is going to be policed going forward. It's very important. Davis and I will be right back.
When it comes to planting, we know that it takes more than just seed and soil. It's Matthew here with Bluff Country Feed and Seed, and I know that it takes quality seed, fertilizer, as well as expertise. That is how you build a proper foundation and lay down your roots. This is exactly why we can be your experts, because we are rooted here locally. We know Bluff Country because we live here with you. Strong roots lead to a strong business and a thriving community. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
At Progressive, we know there's a lot of things you can track. Steps, calories, heart rate, your pet steps, screen time, the whereabouts of your favorite celebrity, how long you slept, how long you didn't sleep, how long you thought about sleeping, how long you thought about how long you thought about sleeping. But none of these things could save you money. Unlike Snapshot from Progressive, which customizes your rate based on how and how much you drive. It's much better for your bottom line than tracking your Cocker Spaniel's resting heart rate. So download the Progressive app today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California or from all agents. Surcharge possible for unsafe driving.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The things that matter most are faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
More moisture and more bushels with the End Zone Bin System from Farm Shop MFG.
The moisture increase has been a huge benefit for us. We are hauling out more bushels than we hauled in. Paid for itself and beyond already the first season.
Call 712-520-6061.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here along with Chip Flory, our beloved host. You are in lovely Ames, Iowa today.
Beautiful Ames, Iowa.
Farm Journal's College Road Show. We do it every year, don't we? And here you are back in your homeland, the land of your educational roots.
I do have some fond memories of the time that I spent down here at Ames. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Have we got, is it Scott this afternoon? Is that this afternoon?
Yeah, Scott Davis. Absolutely.
Yeah. You and old Scotty Davis, huh?
That's right. We were the farm department at WOI back in the late 80s.
Yeah, baby. That's awesome. Hey, I want to talk to you about the conversation with Jeff Cooper just a little bit.
Okay.
In the RFS, this used cooking oil, it just feels like there are some challenges now that are arising that maybe the RFS isn't equipped to manage. Am I looking at this incorrectly?
Well, I don't know if it's the RFS that we can say so specifically is ill-equipped. Okay. To handle it, it's some of the add-on things. They, you know, we look at the RFS and we have discovered over time that just two or three words in the entire language of the law, if they had been slightly different, we could have E15 available year round right now. Nationwide. That's how important the details are in some of these biofuel issues. Now, the reason that I say that is because they want some incentives out there to pursue these different biofuels and to bring cleaner burning, lower carbon fuels into the marketplace. And as they are doing that, they're providing incentives to do it. Well, inside of every incentive is a loophole, and the language doesn't close the loopholes. So there's a China exporter saying, good grief, look at this. I can get an extra dollar a gallon on this stuff or tap into an extra dollar a gallon that's being produced from used cooking oil that I send them. even if it's not used, I'm going to throw a hot dog in a tanker and send it over there and tell them it's used.
Yep, yep.
So they're coming, you know, it's the loopholes need to be tightened up in many of these cases. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, and maybe it shouldn't. Maybe it's just sort of the way that trade is done, the way the thing works, but it kind of grinds my gears a little bit that China is enjoying some tax incentives, as is Brazil.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the reasons that we're importing ethanol from Brazil is because that cane, the sugar cane-based ethanol, has a lower carbon intensity score than U.S. corn-based ethanol, even though it's being put on a boat and shipped all the way to the United States before it is processed into sustainable aviation fuel. Come on. Seriously? I think we ought to be looking a little closer at all, you know, make sure that we've got apples to apples comparisons and all of those transportation issues are considered when we're putting the carbon intensity score on some of these products out there. So there's that. And then you get into as detailed as they are at the federal level on some of these rules and regulations, they are less detailed at the state level in most cases. And when you've got the California Air Resource Board, CARB, out there providing incentives on renewable diesel, you know that China is tapping into some of those state credits from CARB, as well as tapping into the federal credits. It's quite the game. Dude, yeah. It's quite the game.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
I don't know that we can count on a regulatory repair here, at least not anytime soon. My estimation is that maybe this fixes itself once U.S. refining infrastructure is sufficient to the task, mm-hmm. until we get enough of that infrastructure going. Is that a way to look at it? Or if we've established this sort of pattern already, are we just stuck here now?
No, it's because if you use the product twice, mm-hmm. it has a lower carbon intensity score. Okay? So if you use cooking oil for its intended purpose first and then recycle it into a renewable diesel, the carbon intensity score on that is very low as compared to taking virgin soybean oil and using that as a feedstock for renewable diesel first. Okay? So mm-hmm. even if we get our crush capacity up and running full bore and we're producing more than enough soybean oil to meet the demand of the food and fuel markets, which we can do, even if that's happening, we need to get this situation on used cooking oil fixed because the incentives are still going to be there to import used cooking oil. Or to use used cooking oil whenever possible. And if that's imports, the way things stand right now, we'll continue to import.
Oof. It's so ironic. So ironic that the West is chasing its tail so hard, bending over backwards over climate stuff and clean air emissions and yada, yada, yada. Meanwhile, China, one of the gravest offenders, is now getting tax breaks on some of those clean burning fuels. Interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. Chip. It's crazy. Absolutely. Hey, Davis, good stuff. It's fun being back here in Ames at Iowa State University. Arkansas State this weekend here in Ames. Looking forward to another football game at Jack Trice and hopefully another win for the Cyclones. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Bobby for being on the show today. And thanks to Jeff for making time, Jeff Cooper from RFA, for making time and coming on here and having a conversation with us. Come back this afternoon. We're going to keep the conversations going. We've got Scott Davis from Bullpen Trading right here on AgriTalk.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most, our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call